Nope, we gotta fix that. All right. Sounds about right. Good morning. This is a good conference, isn't it? We enjoyed it. It's quickly becoming one of our favorites. Our other favorite, of course, would be the July conference because it's 2 minutes from our house. But let's see here. Go over to 1 Timothy 6. And I got to find my message here. All right, 1 Timothy 6. Let's go to start off in verse number 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strife for words, whereof cometh envy and strife, railings and evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw yourself. Dear Father, I just want to thank you for this time we get together, just a group of believers, of wonderful believers, be able to fellowship, go through your word, and learn what you have for us. And as we go through these verses, we like to have a better understanding of what godliness is and how we get it out of the scriptures. And just ask for your blessing on this time that you, the Spirit will work through us and be able to convince us of the truth. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. When we look at the aspect of doctrines and godliness, I mean, we look at Christianity as a whole. And you talk about godliness, what is their response? If you ask somebody, how are you to be godly? And normally the response is going to be something that you have to do, right? You either have to go to church, maybe you have to tithe, maybe it's something that you don't have to do or something that you're not supposed to do. And so godliness is usually derived from something out of our own body, out of our own flesh, out of our own doing. What is that? Is that what the scripture conveys? We look at 1 Timothy 6:3. At the bottom, he says, if any man teach otherwise, consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is what? According to godliness. There's a doctrine which is after godliness. There's a doctrine which will produce godliness. When we look at this, what is doctrine? It's a teaching, very good. Turn over to Matthew 7 real quick. Matthew 7, we're starting verse 21. I'm going to read kind of quickly to get down to the bottom there. It says, not everyone... Verse 21, Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, hath we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him as a wise man which built his house on a rock. Go down to verse number 28. And as it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these, what were sayings? When ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his what? His doctrine. There were sayings. There were things that the Lord Jesus Christ was communicating to them about how they're supposed to perceive truth. How they're supposed to act out. And they called it what? Doctrines. They're sayings, they're teachings. When we look at Scripture, we have all the Scripture, but in Scripture, is there just one doctrine? No, there's many doctrines. There's many different things of how we're supposed to take in that Scripture and process it and have it live out in our lives. Here, Paul says there's a doctrine which is after godliness, which is according to godliness. When we go through the scriptures, we do see a bunch of different doctrines. And when we start to correlate them, put them together where they belong, we start to see that there's pretty much two main programs, right? What are the two programs that we see out throughout scriptures? Okay, I think I heard four there. All right. We start to see something that has to do with the nation of Israel, right? And what do we usually call all that doctrine there? prophecy, right? That's the program. We call usually we'll call it kingdom doctrine. You know, we get into, you know, you're not supposed to go that way. It's kingdom doctrine. And what's the other one? Mystery, right? We start talking about body doctrine. Here's the truths that we take in that we're supposed to have live out in our lives. Here's the body doctrine. Now, we start to see there's differences in those doctrines, right? Think about it. Forgiving others. When it comes to forgiving others, is there a difference of doctrines from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to what we have? Right. In Matthew 6, what was the condition on forgiving? If you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. Paul says over in Colossians 3 that we're supposed to forgive. Why? Because we've already been forgiven, right? And so, which one are we supposed to apply? We look at the aspect of the law. Matthew 5, Christ says, think not that I came to what? Destroy the law. But in Ephesians 2, we have Christ doing what? Abolishing the law, right? He abolished all. Did I mess something up? No? Okay, we're good. All right. It's always a fear you start going off, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm going to have Brian Ross coming to me afterwards. Dear brother, we got to talk. And you know, the first 10, 15 minutes you're teaching, it's kind of like you got in a car accident and you're in a daze. And so you don't know what's going on. And it's in GSB and P&D that Richard tells you, he says, hey, if you want to get off of yourself, have a message. Have something to say. So I'm trying to have something to say, despite this car wrecked feeling right now. All right. So let's look at, what about the aspect of the kingdom? We have in Daniel 2:45, what are the Jews expecting? A literal, physical, earthly, Davidic kingdom, right? Are we expecting that? Well, kind of, yeah. But no, we're not going to be there, right? It's not for us. What do we have? Woo-hoo, heavenly places. We get to be, I hope we get to fly. I think that'd be pretty cool. But we get the heavenly kingdom. What about baptism? That's a hot button issue, right? Don't talk about the hot button issues, you know. I don't listen. But what happened? How many baptisms are in Matthew 3? 3, right? How many baptisms are in Ephesians 4? 1. We have a problem there. So, okay, Justin, what does this have to do with godliness? Well, yeah, what does it have to do with godliness? Well, in 1 Timothy, I should have told you to hold your finger there, but go back to 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6:3, it says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, those verses we just went over, are those the words of the Lord Jesus Christ on the left and on the right? Sorry, they're on the left and right in my notes. But when it came to kingdom doctrine, came to mystery doctrine, are those the words of the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay, so you guys have had the conversation with somebody who doesn't believe in right division. Like, see, you just don't want to believe in the words of the Lord Jesus. It's like, okay, well, let's ferret this out. Let's figure out where the problem is. Go over to 2 Corinthians 5. See, the Lord did go ahead and he did say both. But does one supersede? Does one replace the other? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth. So now, moving forward, what's he say there? Know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. We don't know Christ after the flesh anymore, do we? We don't know him after his earthly ministry. Well, how do we know the Lord Jesus Christ today? The resurrection, right? After whose gospel? Paul's gospel. And this is where I guess the rubber meets the road. I don't know what the saying is, but when we get down to it, what doctrine are we going to follow? Is it going to be the earthly Christ, or is it going to be the resurrected Lord? Which one are we going to go after? See, Christianity today, if they would just pay attention to the Apostle Paul, a lot of these issues are going to be resolved. Almost every single major doctrinal issue today can be resolved in what book? Book of Romans. I mean, did you read Romans? Yeah, I read it once. It was a good book. It was good, but I prefer Jesus. Okay. When it comes to salvation, sorry, I am a pacer, so I don't know. I think I have ADHD or something like that. Nah, I gotta move. But when you get to Romans 3, what's the issue there? How did God save us? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. And was that by anything that you did? No, right? We couldn't do anything about it. It was by faith. Do we have issues today with people when it comes to faith and just believing on what the Lord had done? Yeah, we do. What about, let's go to Romans 6. What are you dead to? You're dead to sin, but today we have Christians that are so struggling over the issue that I got to get rid of my sin in my life. He already did it for you. You just never got into the book to realize it. Romans 7, they get the issue like, well, we gotta hold the law up as a placard in our life. You're dead to what? You're dead to the law again. Here you go. The basic tenets, your foundation in who you are in Christ is found in the book of Romans. It's found in the Apostle Paul. But you want to keep going to the hill. You want to be one of the meek. You want to be one of the humble. You want to get your lessons from there. Just tell me what to do. I know Christ did some stuff. It's great, but I got to do more. You're going down the wrong road. Everybody wants to go ahead and take Romans 9, 10, 11. Where we're at today, right? Well, it's not where we're at, but why we're at where we're at today. All right? Romans 9, 10, and 11. You get to understand what God did with the nation of Israel, why He set them aside, why He is just to come to us today. Let's go. You know, people's heads blow up when you try to talk to them about that. They want nothing to do with it. Everybody wants to get rid of Paul, but throw away what he teaches. But they all want what? They all want his experiences, right? They all want that Macedonian call. The Lord has called me. He's called me to greatness. He spoke to me in a vision. He's telling me what to tell you, brother. He's saying you got sin in your life. Sorry, I don't know, so don't forget. What'd you say? But there's an aspect that nobody wants to read him. Nobody wants to believe what Paul was trying to teach us. Is it the words of Paul? No, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Lord Jesus Christ communicating these things to Paul. Here's a fun little passage. All right, grab Galatians 1 and grab Numbers 12. Numbers 12. And I'm having a problem finding Galatians. All right. Time for that alphabetized Bible to come out. Did I say Galatians 12 or Galatians 1? All right. Galatians 1, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached after me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. But by what? Revelation from? Revelation of. You see the difference in that? Is it somebody showed up to class? I don't want to say the Lord showed up to class, that might be wrong. But somebody showed up, revelation of Jesus Christ. He saw him. And I just, okay, so I've got Numbers 12. He saw him. He met with the Lord. Numbers 12, starting verse 1. You start to see what happens to some people that want, when it came to Moses, what happened when they wanted to be like unto Moses, but not listen to Moses. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. It's a little redundant. And they had said, hath the Lord indeed only spoken by Moses? Sound like people today, right? I don't think the Lord just speaks by Paul, you know? He speaks to me too. Colossians 2 tells you you're a liar. All right? So anyhow, he's not supposed... Verse 2, and they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath not he spoken by us also? And what's that last part there? Dun, dun, dun. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And the three came out. And the Lord came down on the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. This is good. All right. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house, mine house. With him will I speak what? Mouth to mouth. You start to see that somebody got to see somebody. Somebody who actually had conversations like we're kind of having right now. I speak to mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Somebody's going to be there having conversations with the Lord. He's going to see him. Moses wasn't just an ordinary prophet. He wasn't given things that he didn't understand. You're sitting there, you kind of scratch their head, you know, we're Christians today, a lot of the prophecy people say, oh look, they would have known. They would have known the Lord Jesus in Genesis 3, that he was going to come and redeem everybody. You're like, they had no clue. These were things that they did not understand. But Moses, when he communicated to Moses, Moses understood what was up. So when you go back to Galatians 1, revelation of Jesus Christ, there's something else going on there. He's treating Paul as he treated who? Moses. He's communicating. So we don't worship Paul. Do we worship Paul? No, if we did, we can have a conversation after class. But we don't worship Paul. All right. What do we magnify? We magnify the same thing he does in Romans 11, right? His what?
Office.
His office. It's the office. This is where we're at today. This is my man. This is who you're supposed to listen to. If you don't, I'm going to whack you. No, I'm not going to whack you. But we're going to have problems. We're going to have serious problems because how you're going to get edified is going to be completely different from the way I have designed it. All right. Moved over to Romans 16. This is Matt says, Matt Holly, he was like, he can't preach a message without going to Romans 1. I can't preach one without going to Romans 16. So, at least we're in the same book. Romans 16. When we read through it, pay attention to the order that the information is laid out. I have this is probably the number one passage I go to for believers who don't understand the right division. That I'm kind of getting what you're saying. I usually come here so they can see the structure that's put in here. Romans 16:25. Now to him that has a power to establish you. Romans 1:11. Establish. Paul says, I wish I could impart unto you some spiritual gift that you may be established. Establishing is the what? Foundation, right? Build the foundation. Now to him is the power to establish you is the aspect of being what? Built up. All right. Now to him is the power to establish you. Who's that? Who has the power? Jesus Christ. All right. It's the Lord. He's going to build you up according to what? My gospel. Paul's gospel. Same gospel in Romans 2 that he's going to judge the world by. All right. The same gospel to which the Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected for what? Our justification. This is that gospel. Now it is in power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Can't just stop there, right? What's the next part there? According to the revelation. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to build you up according to Paul's gospel, which is about the Lord, but regarding the mystery, regarding that the revelation. So, if I want to get built up, can I go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Have fun. You're going to be there a while. You're going to be there a long while. Go over to Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians 1. Starting verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God. I lost my spot. There we are. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid in ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may what? Present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. What is Paul teaching? Aspect of revelation, the dispensation of grace. So that what? You can become perfect. Yes, 2 Timothy 3:16, for all scriptures of inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Perfect. There we go. We got perfect again. The aspect of being perfect is not that you're 100% sinless or anything like that, but you are not fully equipped to operate as a son. You have all the doctrine. You have everything that you need so you can go forward and communicate to people what that truth is and be able to see them get built up. You cannot be perfect. Okay? You cannot be godly if you don't understand the mystery. That is tough for a lot of people. And a lot of people, we're going to cut you off now. I have nothing to do with you. But no, you're having nothing to do with the Bible. Because the Bible communicates. If you want to be godly, you have to understand the doctrine that the Lord has given for us today. And that's what you're supposed to be able to live in your life. But to understand that you're dead to sin, that you're dead to the law. You don't have to be tangled with bondage again. Entangled to bondage again. Christian life today, you think about the turmoil that they go through, the breaking it down. It's like they want the messages that just kind of like destroy them. You know, I'm so broken. You know, and, oh, the Lord lifted me up today. You know, and it's this whole up and down. What's that get itself to? It's the flesh, right? Entices the flesh. It has nothing to do with edifying. How was church today? It was good. Yeah, what was it about? Oh, it's just about the Lord. I just realized how much of a sinner I am. That's good. So what else you learned? Oh, he's just good. Okay. We got problems. Was there any edifying in there? Who kind of grew up? I didn't grow up, but middle part of my life, which is actually probably the beginning part for a lot of you. Just kidding. Was stuck in an evangelical church. How many people have been part of an evangelical church for many years? You know what I'm talking about then, right? It's like, you gotta search for Jesus likes the pearl of great price, you know? It's like, and you sit there and you get all these little cliche things, you get all these little sayings, and it's all about what's the next Jesus fad we're gonna get into so we can feel godly. It's such a shame. And I got mad. I really got mad when I got out of it. Because and then you want to save everybody, think no one's saved. So I'm sitting there burning bridges as I go along and growing. And it's if anybody's there right now, be careful with that, all right? Just be patient, be apt to teach. 2 Timothy 2. We want to be able to have an opportunity to recover them from the snare of the devil. I lost a lot like that. Even people that are in my family just won't have, they won't talk to me about, talk about everything else, but not the Bible. You know, it's kind of like the aspect they want to put you away so that it might not affect them. So when we look at this, we look at the scriptures, the Lord has set them up. What is here? What's sound doctrine? Think about that. Think about that word sound, right? That's a sound building. It's the foundation's pretty sound. I mean it's sturdy, right? It's not gonna go anywhere. Talk about sound financial principles. If your income is less than your outcome, you probably should stop spending, right? That's pretty sound, baby. No, she's good. She's very good with the money. I actually don't touch the money anymore. Because I'm not allowed to. Yeah, there's going to be plenty of reproof later on. Alright, Hey, Brother Ed, I asked you where that fire exit was. It might be a good time to get it blinking. So, let me get back on track here. Hopefully. All right. So when we look at doctrine, sound doctrine, there's aspects to which it's sound because you're able to build upon it. You're able to take these truths and go somewhere with it. We were talking earlier about Romans 6 and Romans 7. What happens if you don't understand you're dead to sin? What happens if you don't understand that you're dead to the law? Is that going to affect how you grow? It's going to affect how you view other doctrines now. What about soul salvation? What if you think you can lose your salvation? You open a whole new can of worms here that's going to cause a lot of destruction. If you don't believe that once you're saved, you can never be lost, is that going to affect other doctrine? It's going to affect almost all the doctrine, isn't it? And you're going to sit here and live in fear that you're going to be going to hell. That is probably the biggest... I don't fight people over doctrine too much. And unless you're a brother at my church. But I don't... Ben, I love you. Going to hell. No. You can reprove me later, too. So, my biggest thing is the aspect of security. And that's one thing I will fight over. My wife will attest to, I think that's the word I'm looking for. She'll attest, I almost kicked out my family members who were visiting from Louisiana over that issue. I mean, it got really close. It just never came out of my mouth. She's telling me, she goes, well, no, you can lose your salvation. How so? If you didn't do anything to get it, how can you do anything to lose it? He saved you while we were yet what? Godly? No, while we were sinners. And she goes, well, I'm not saying it's easy. But you know, it does say over in Revelation that you'd be blotted out of the book of life. Okay, tell me about the book of life. Well, I don't know too much about it. Oh my God. You're building something so important. You're building on something so important with something you have no clue about. What is wrong with you? But I started getting mad because when you start teaching people that, you start teaching people you can lose your salvation, you're destroying them. You're destroying what Jesus Christ had done at the cross for them. Shut your mouth. I don't want to hear it. And I love my family. I didn't say their names, right? Because if I ever pass this down to them... I love them to death. I really do. But when it comes to that issue, I can almost count you as an enemy. Because what you're doing is... I'm not saying do that, okay? That might be a wrong mindset on this part, my part. But what you're doing now is you are literally destroying the basic tenets of our faith. I had conversations with extended family members just about that subject. And you just don't understand Paul and the doctrine he's trying to communicate unto you. You go to a church that people believe you can be saved, it's sealed, you know, you're good, you're eternal security, then you got other people right sitting right next to you that don't believe it. How do you guys have communion? Oh, you don't talk about the doctrine. That's what it comes down to. You just believe whatever, it's all good. Does Paul condone that in the scriptures? Are we supposed to just go ahead and say, okay, it's all good. Yeah, believe whatever you want. No. No, we're supposed to stand for something. Stand for the truth. Don't give heed to those things. Let's move on. Time's sake. Go to Ephesians 4. Passage that we used... Hey, how you doing? Yeah, I kind of feel like Richard up here. I got all these wires and things connected to me. Not because I'm a good speaker. I know that's not true. But, you know, I feel like I got IVs on me here. Ephesians 4. I love you. Ephesians 4. There in verse 11. See, the Lord loved us so much that it wasn't that He just saved us, but He provided for us too. He gave us things to help us grow so that we may be perfect. Ephesians 4:11. And He gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for what? For the perfecting. Once again, to get you where you need to be. To get you to the point where you have solid footing, you understand the doctrine, and you can communicate it and see people get saved, see people get edified. Verse 13, till we all come into unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now here's what's neat, the next verse, because once you get to the aspect that you're perfect, you have that understanding, you have that sound doctrine, what happens? Or what doesn't happen? Verse 14, that we henceforth no more be what? Tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I used to believe in eternal security, but then I read this guy. And now, so you believe the guy over the book. Very good. Do you know for me, here's some sound doctrine when it comes to eternal security. Romans 4:5, but not to him that worketh, but to him that believeth. Right? Is believing a work? No. You just said it right in the verse, right? What happens when you believe, according to Ephesians 1:13? You were sealed. In Ephesians 4:29, what happens after when you were sealed? You were sealed unto the day of... Not until, but unto, as if like you were sealed for that day. It's done. Here it is. That's sound doctrine. You can build upon it. You can go somewhere with it. We don't need to be tossed to and fro. What about the perseverance of the saints? What about you read for context? How about you actually get in the book and understand what they're talking about instead of just going, we're going to take this, we're going to take this, we're going to make a lovely little message out of it. Right? Get in the book. Understand it. Get the sound doctrine out of it. That we're not being tossed to and fro. The Corinthians were very much tossed to and fro, right? Is it to and fro? Am I messing that up? Is it through and fro? Or frickin' frack? go to 1 Corinthians 1. And this is this really is, you know, with the young adults we've been going through 1 Corinthians. We're at a church. Des, I love you, but don't make me come down from this pulpit. 1 Corinthians 1. Yes, I do all sorts of things wrong when I'm up here. You're not supposed to have your hands in your pocket. You're not supposed to drink water. You're not supposed to talk to people. All right, 1 Corinthians 1. I don't know. 1 Corinthians 1. Start in verse number 12. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Now, is that following a person? It's not so much that we're talking about we're following a person. Because every one of you saith. Go to verse 10. What's he say? Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing. Something's going on where these people who are saying, I follow Apollos, I'm following Cephas, I'm following Christ, and some saying I'm following Paul. There's doctrine behind it. They're following a set of doctrine. They're not speaking the same thing. Apollos, when we look at Apollos, what was Apollos' background? Baptist. Yeah, John the Baptist, who he came from, that's what he knew. And evidently, you might have had some followers about that. What happens when it comes to Cephas? What group is that? We start looking at, what group follows the doctrine of Cephas today? Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. He's over there. Bless you, my son. All right. We got Apollos out of the way. We got Cephas. What about Christ? And it's just, there's some wisdom of words there, right? To follow Christ. What group is that? You can say it. You could be wrong. I could be wrong. But I look at it as the evangelical church. Everybody's, we're going to follow Jesus in his earthly ministry. We're going to go ahead. We're going to bring forth the gospel. We're going to preach it to every creature under the sun. And they're all part of that great commission. Now, there's doctrine behind each one of those groups. There's doctrine behind the people that want to follow Paul, too. You got these doctrines, but they're not speaking the same things, and they're moving forward. And Paul says to them to do what? To be followers of be followers of me. Understand what the Lord has communicated to me, and understand that doctrine, and move forward. And we can get rid of all this confusion, all these different things that are going on today. You believe you're saved. You don't believe you're saved. You believe in tongues. You don't believe in tongues, which is another fun subject, but we're not going to go there. Go to 2 Corinthians 3. When we think about what's going on in 1 Corinthians 1, what's behind all of those groups? Whether it's going to be Apollos, whether it's going to be Cephas, whether it's going to be Christ. What's the underlying doctrine that's being taught? Starts with the law. Starts with an L. Starts with the law. It's the law. The law is behind every one of those doctrines and what they're trying to produce and how they're going to be living. 2 Corinthians 3. Actually, 2 Corinthians 4. One more over. Paul says, therefore, seeing, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, nor walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. What is he talking about? I mean, it's good, right? I remember when I was in evangelical church, I'm like, yeah, forget these people that want to do New Age stuff. It's not really what he's talking about. It's part of it. But go to 2 Corinthians 3 and look at verse 9. You start looking at what the context is, what he's getting into. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. Paul's been talking about the law. He's been talking about the ministry of condemnation. He's talking about the letter that killed in chapter 3. There's people out there that are handling the word of God deceitfully. I know. There's people out there using the Word of God, handling it deceitfully, teaching things they ought not, teaching the law. It's deceitful. Hey, man, it's in the book. It's in the Bible. You want to believe the Bible? Do you want to obey God? It's here. We got to do it. Well, that sounds good. I'm all for that. And there you go. You start turning away from the truth. There's a big group in Galatians that did that, right? Go to Galatians. Go to Galatians 3. It's turning into a little review for some of you, but it's good. It's good to be reviewed. Have review. Galatians 3. Verse number 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched thee? You should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath evidently been set forth, crucified among you. This only I learn of you, received you the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. How'd you get the Spirit? Hearing of faith, right? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Are you now stable, can move forward to edify other people because of the things that you do in the flesh? Are you now perfect because of that? So, when I was in the evangelical church, that's where I was. I believe that I didn't believe I could lose my salvation. I guess I'm touching that. I didn't believe I could lose my salvation, but I did believe that I needed to perform so the Lord can use me. I needed to make sure that I had my checks and balances with the laws, that I was according to them, you know, repenting. You know, that's another whole another doctrine. You sit there and you look at it, you're like, you guys can't read. You know, Genesis 6, the Lord repented, right? That's okay, yeah. Confusing. But when you sit there and you look at this, Galatians 3, these guys are giving back the law. They're being beguiled. They're taken away. They're getting their liberties. Galatians 5, right? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. When we start looking at these doctrines, start looking at godliness, if we start pulling away from the truth that was committed to the Apostle Paul about who we are today in Christ Jesus, we start getting put back under bondage. We start following wrong doctrines. We're no good. We're the hill of beans. The Lord can't use you. Religion doesn't just stop there, though. This is what's wild, is that if all he did was teach the law, I think people after a while would start to read the Bible, because the law's in the Bible. And somebody might pick up on the fact that, hey, we're not supposed to be in the law, like Luther, right? And you start realizing, wait, something's going on. But no, so they got to take it a step further. We got to get you further away from believing the Bible and believing what God's truth is today. Go to 1 Timothy 1. Matt Holly started picking up on this yesterday. You know, kind of look at this as what Satan does, or you know what the pride of man does with this, and pulling away further and further and further away from the truth. This kind of, it's almost the same thing as like sin. You know, you start off a little small, and if nobody checks you and says, "Hey, that's wrong," what happens? How far can I go? My son Luke, I love him. Hey, by the way, is it illegal to sell kids to the Amish people? Yeah? Okay. But what he does is he cries and he fights, and you're like, all right, fine, whatever. And goes a little bit further with it, goes a little bit further. Same thing is when it comes to the doctrine, when it comes to teaching the wrong doctrine, there's no end to how far you can go if it's not checked with the correct thing, if it's not disciplined, if you will. 1 Timothy 1, verse number 3, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge them that they teach no other doctrine. Those doctrines are being taught, right? And we saw that with Paul, people coming in, and he gave them, he didn't give them any time. What did he say? We were not subjecting them, not for an hour. These guys are coming in and trying to feed them other stuff. You need to keep Moses' law. What's it move into, though? Verse 4. Neither give what? Heed to fables. When you start building your edification, or your lack thereof, is built upon bad doctrine, you start moving to what? stories. It's, you got to get people away from the Bible. If you kept teaching them the Bible, let's go here, let's look at this law, let's look at this, let's look at that. If their nose is in the book, what's going to happen? They're going to figure it out at some point in time. So let's get them away from it. It's story time for Christians. Let's get you over here so this way you don't have anything sound to build upon. You know, when I was a part of that, I would go through Colossians, Ephesians, and I would understand nothing when I was reading. I just shake your head and make me feel like you had the same thing experience going on there. Thank you, sister. But you sit there and you read, and I understood nothing until I got to the one point that the pastor had made a week ago or so. It's like, oh yeah, I know this. Because he taught about that. And it had nothing to do with the context. You understood nothing before or nothing after. And it was, can you imagine living that way? How many of you guys grew up in grace? Wow. It's not a whole lot. It's a lot of you guys know what I'm talking about. It's frustrating when you don't understand the Bible. You know what was really, really awesome? Is when some guy told me, hey, you're just reading the verse wrong. One verse, I was out of Calvinism. One verse. I was like, you just showed me how to read. I felt like I was in first grade. It's like, thank you. But here it is. You got to be able to have that correct doctrine. Not to get away from those stories. Get edified. Get something good inside you. It says, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying. Godly. So we look at that term, godly. He's, what is godly edifying in here? What is he doing? What's he imparting to you? Doctrine. Sound doctrine. And God says that's godly. When you want to be godly, you need that godliness in your life. It's the proper application of the correct doctrine for you. It's being able to take that, understand it, acknowledge it, and live it out in your life. God considers that godly. We think about the Corinthians. It talks about, you know, godly repentance, godly sorrow leadeth thee to repentance. What was going on in 2 Corinthians 7 with those guys? Paul had written them a letter in 1 Corinthians saying, you guys got some issues. You're living like a bunch of heathens. You're carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. And so he writes them some good, solid doctrine. This is who you are in Christ. Let's knock it off. What did that produce in them? What did good doctrine produce in them? Godly sorrow. He understood it, realized we're believing the wrong thing. We're applying the wrong thing in our life. We need to move forward. We need to get out of this. It produced something, godliness. Don't underestimate the power of doctrine, right? Doctrine will produce those things in our life, and if we don't, we keep going further, like in 1 Timothy 4. For we're in 1 Timothy 4. Starting verse number 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine of devils. What seduce? What does the seduce? It's the entice, right? It's to go after the flesh a little bit. Talk about seducing spirits. When I think of spirits, I think of 1 Corinthians 5. When that one guy was sleeping with his father's wife. And Paul says, you know, when you all gather together and with my spirit and with what? My judgment, my understanding, my conviction about these things. Seducing spirit. There are things that are imparted to you to attach, to get to your flesh using worldly wisdom to change your mindset about things. 1 Corinthians 1:17, Paul says that Christ sent me not to baptize, but to what? Preach the gospel. So, baptism is not a part of the gospel, right? Okay, so I want to check that part. Not with what? Words of wisdom. Lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. There's your seducing spirits, is to take away from what Christ had done at the cross and put the emphasis back on who?
Me.
This guy, right? That guy. Yeah, you look like, yeah. We would have been in trouble if we grew up together. But, so back to the first Timothy 4. Doctrines of devils. You notice the context once again here. Go to verse 3. It says, forbidding the marrow and abstaining from meats. That's the same thing over in Colossians 2. He's saying these are doctrines of devils. What is the doctrine of a devil? to me, the only thing I can view this as is the aspect of man's teaching, man's commandments to produce godliness in you. To get rid of this, to get rid of that, to do this. You understand what those doctrines of devils are? Just look at in Christianity today. What are they putting there for your godliness? What do you have to do to become godly? It says, what's that?
Quit sinning.
Quit, brother. Amen. Look at verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy. I love this verse. I think it's such a cool verse. What's a lie? Something that's not true. What's hypocrisy? Something you don't do. Follow the law and you'll be saved, right? There's a lie and it's hypocritical. You're not going to do it. Bottom line, and you can't do it. You're speaking lies and hypocrisy. That's what Christianity wants you to do. Keep you under the thumb. Keep you performing even though they won't do it. They can't do it. And you start to see what it is the emphasis is on. It's on you. It's on what you do. And it's less and less. Unless, I really need a bigger place to stand. Unless on what Christ had done and what he did for you. It all becomes about us. It all becomes about the doctrines that we build up to say that make us godly. Go to 2 Timothy 3:5. We're going to start wrapping this up here. A couple more verses. 2 Timothy 3:5. Verse number one. This know that also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lover of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Having a form. That form of sound words, that's not what they have here. They have a form of godliness. It looks right. It smells right, right? They went to the right schools. They have it all. They're whited sepulchres, right? That's all they are. Everything looks good. But inside's what? Dead man's bones, right? Bunch of bad doctrine. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. You know what that power is? You can say it. It's doctrine. It's right doctrine. They don't have it. They don't want it because they went after doctrines of devils. They went after other doctrines to make themselves appear to be godly. It's all about them. It's about their flesh. It's about what they do. And they want you to be the same way. What do you mean you just let go and let Jesus? Actually, don't ever say that. I don't say that. But what do you mean you just sit back and let the grace of God work through? You need to go out and do something, man. The Lord died for you. You're just going to have to do anything about it? Come on, Eric. You know you got to go out there and you got to work for Jesus to show him you love him, right? A little messed up. The wrong doctrine. That's not what Paul's communicating. Get edified. 2 Timothy 2, you know, he says to first be partakers of the fruit. You need to first understand who we are in Christ before you can go out. Before you should go out and try to communicate to people, understand who you are. What happens if you don't? You're going to give out people some bad doctrine, right? Understand who we are to get edified. All right, 2 Timothy 2. Yeah, we got to go there. 2 Timothy 2:15. And 16, though. I'm not going to just leave you hanging. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What happens if you don't rightly divide? You're not approved. What happens if you don't rightly divide? You should be ashamed. Bottom line. Christians today that don't know how to rightly divide need to be ashamed because you're teaching the wrong doctrine. And you're screwing it up for a lot of people. And where they can live that life in Christ, they can't now. You need to be ashamed. But shun, verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto what? More ungodliness. It's going to keep on going. It's a train wreck, people. It's going to keep getting worse. If you don't understand the right doctrine, the sound doctrine that produces godliness, which is after godliness, you're just going to keep getting worse. Keep rejecting the truth. Go ahead. Keep rejecting it. See where you're at. See what happens at the great white throne. By the way, I do believe that a lot of these people are saved. You know, what did you put your faith into? If you don't understand Paul, it doesn't mean you're not saved. It just means you're probably saved, living like you're unsaved. But I'm careful with that. You find out the person's saved, first and foremost, before you start beating up with doctrine, right? What's the fastest way to ask somebody if they're saved?
Are you saved?
Are you saved? Just get down to it. If they give you any other answer but what Christ did at the cross and their faith in that, what are you supposed to do? Give them some doctrine. Give them some sound doctrine. Help them get edified. Help them get saved. But until then, we're supposed to shun this bad doctrine. But if we shun it and put it away, we'll protect our people. As 1 Timothy says, 1 Timothy 4, verse number 13. The three things that Paul says for us. Till I come, give 1. Attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, that was given to me by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. 2. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profit might appear at all. And 3. Take heed unto thyself and to what? Get in that book, guys. Give attendance to it, meditate on it, take heed unto it. Because why? Continue them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save what? Thyself and them that hear you. We got a big responsibility on our shoulders. We understand the truth. We understand the right doctrine. Are we going to instill in people godliness by another form? No. We can't do that. We know that truth. But here, this is how we become God. Get equipped. Understand those doctrines. Let it work through you and then communicate it to others. All right? Dear Father, I just want to thank you for this time that we get together. Just be able to go over your word and be able to understand what you have for us. We are thankful, Lord. You know, as Brother Matt was talking about yesterday, we are very thankful for your word. We're very thankful for your apostles. We're very thankful for everything you gave us. So this way we can be godly. And we thank you for this ministry that we come together and just have this fellowship. In your name we pray. Amen. All right.
So you hear the music.
Run.
Well, you want to take a little about 5-minute break? Okay. Stretch your legs.
All right, man.